The sermon text today is found in Matthew chapter 5, just four verses, verses 13 through 16. We're continuing our walk through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus' longest extended teaching in the Gospels, and we're taking it one section at a time. Last week we looked at the Beatitudes, the first part of chapter 5. Today we're looking at the very next passage, verses 13 through 16. Jesus says these words, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this word and how you define who we are as people in your kingdom, citizens of your kingdom, people redeemed through you. Help us as we grow in you to ever grow taller and brighter and saltier, that we might draw other folks to know you and give praise to you because of what you have done in our lives. Give you thanks for this time and pray that you would be in our reflections now. In Jesus' name, amen. Salt is a very necessary thing. You can't live without salt. Did you know this? Salt is essential to human life. I did a little bit of reading about this week. It's really amazing. I didn't know this. Salt, and I'm not a biologist or a neuroscientist or anything like that, but salt has something to do with the firing of neurons inside your brain and how messages get transmitted electrically, to the various nerve endings in your body. Muscles and senses happen because of the presence of salt in your body. Isn't that something? Is that right, Jeremy? You're a chemist, right? You kind of know this. I'll pick on you today. That's all right. Salt's really essential for human life. You can't live without salt. It helps to maintain your metabolism and your body fluids and your electrolytes, which are really cool. You got to have all these things in the right balance, and salt is one of those things that makes it happen. Of course, salt is also one of the basic human tastes that we have. Your taste buds can sense like five different things, and one of them is salt. Salty. You know that taste. I have to swallow because suddenly I'm thinking about salty stuff. My mouth is watering. Isn't that funny how that works? Salt is something that we use as seasoning on food. It's one of the most basic seasonings that people have always used to make their food taste better. Some of us like it more than others. More salt than... anyway. Salt is also useful to preserve food. Before there were refrigerators and freezers and grocery stores that had food fresh or frozen for you, there was salt to keep your meat from spoiling and other fun things like that. Salt is one of the most incredibly useful things, necessary things, and the thing about salt is we're never going to run out of it, right? We have a virtually endless supply of salt. Where? In the oceans. Just take a cup of salt water, let the water evaporate, and you've got salt and some other stuff. But mostly, hopefully not too much other stuff. It's everywhere. It's one of the most plentiful minerals in the world. Light is kind of like it. Light is really crucial to life as well. To us as people, of course, light is very important. After a long, dark winter, isn't it nice to go outside into the summer and take in the sun, and it just makes you rejuvenated. You feel better after getting some sun. Getting the light has something to do with how we live. has a lot to do with how plants live, right? The photosynthesis that plants go through to produce to receive the energy they need to convert carbon dioxide to oxygen. I told you I was going to pick on you, Jeremy, or at least pique your interest. Light is so crucial to plant life, right? It has more purpose than just that. It helps us to see. You are all looking at me right now, and if there was no light in this room, you could not see me. Light is crucial to the sense of human vision, like salt is crucial to the sense of human taste, in a similar but really different way. Light is really fundamental to how we see, right? Light is something that gives heat, it gives energy, it enables growth. It is so crucial to life, and there is a lot of it. Every day we can count on it. Even on an overcast, rainy day like today, there's still light out there, right? The sun is not completely shut out. The only thing that shuts out the sun from us is us, the earth. When it's dark here, the earth is blocking the sun from us. And the moon, sometimes the moon gets in the way too. That's about it. The sun always gets through. It's necessary, and it's always there. There's always enough of it. Never going to run out. I've been thinking a lot about salt and light this week, as you might imagine. This is what Jesus' teaching is about. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So I've been doing some reflecting on what salt and light do. They're so necessary. But what else are they? They're both intrinsically useful. By that I mean, they are useful in and of themselves. They don't transmit something that is useful. They are useful. Salt doesn't contain anything that makes it salty. You follow me? It just is salty, right? It's what it is. The nature of the... I know, Jeremy's like, well, sort of. Okay, it's... Never mind. You can talk to Jeremy later for the true chemistry behind all of this. But the general idea is NaCl, your sodium... You like that? Sodium chloride. And chloride is something that just is... Did I say it right? I don't even know. It just is salt, right? It doesn't carry the thing of saltiness. That's what... And the same thing with light. It doesn't carry something with it that makes it useful. It is useful. Its very essence, light, is exactly what it does. There's nothing in light that makes it bright. It just is light. Yeah? Intrinsically useful, these things are. So in a sense, salt can't lose its saltiness. Because it is salty. If sodium and chlorine break apart from each other, it's no longer salt. It doesn't count as salt anymore. It can't lose its nature as being salt. And the same thing with light. It can't lose its nature of being light. It just is light. It can't be lost. In the same way, water can't lose its wetness. Heat can't lose its heat. These things can't change their identities. Their characteristics are intrinsic to their identities. Another thought about salt and light. Both of them, while intrinsically useful, but before they get too big of an ego about themselves, both of them are created by external processes, too. It's the sodium and chlorine that have to come together in order to make salt. They're not, it doesn't occur, well, it occurs naturally, but it doesn't occur spontaneously in the universe. Same thing with light. That big burning ball of gas that's out there that gives us the daylight that we have every day. 93 million miles away, this huge star that's out there doesn't just have light. Light is a byproduct of what happens in the sun. All the time, the sun is this huge fusion generator where it's converting hydrogen into helium. And one of the byproducts is this light that goes out in all directions at the same speed, going in all directions all across this part of the universe. A really small part of the universe. And the one little tiny pinprick of that sun's rays that hits our world is enough to fuel life, to provide all the energy plants need to make us feel better after long winter, to help us see things and all. All that energy that's out there, one little tiny part of it hits us. Isn't that something? But the light is not existing on its own. It's the byproduct of something else that's going on. They're intrinsically useful, salt and light, but they're created by some sort of external process. Okay. In another sense, too much salt or light is a bad thing. There's a funny story associated with this. Tara and I love to cook. And you know the story already. I don't even have to tell you what it is. She does. Once upon a time, I should back up and say, we love to cook by recipes. We'll find a recipe in a cookbook or online or something and make it, and it usually turns out, you know, sort of okay. And other times, we like to experiment. We'll just throw stuff together and see what happens. And sometimes that comes out okay, and sometimes it doesn't. One particular occasion, I think you might have been away, Tara, or I was the one doing the cooking, so this is on me, not on her. I said to myself, let's do something sort of Italian, put some tomatoes and sauce, and I don't know, it's probably going to go over pasta or something like that. It's one of our standbys. Let's soup up the sauce with some spices, okay? We'd like to do this. And I said some very fateful words. You can never have too much oregano. What? Oh, no, I was cooking for you? We were not married yet. I didn't remember when this story happened. Tara's calling me on it now. I was trying to impress the love of my life. We were dating, not yet married. Something worked. You can never have too much oregano. So I took my oregano shaker out and shook. I mean, I put in a bunch of oregano, and I don't know what this was. It was crunchy. There was so much oregano that you took a bite of it and it literally crunched in your mouth. It didn't even taste like oregano anymore. It just tasted like leaves you were eating. And she still married me. I don't know. We cook together now. That's, I guess, maybe how that worked out. Too much of a good thing is too much, right? Same with salt and light. Too much salt is a bad thing. Some of you have that in your diets. You know, too much salt, high blood pressure and all this. You have to stay away from too much. Too much salt makes food inedible. If you pour too much salt on, it doesn't taste like anything, right? It gets crunchy and it's kind of gross. Too much salt on the ground makes it infertile, right? I mean, all this too much salt in water makes it not drinkable, you know. Too much salt is bad. Too much light is bad. If there's too much light, you might go blind, right? If you stare at the sun, if it's too bright, if you're taking a picture or making a movie or something and there's too much exposure, too much light exposure, you can't see anything, right? Light is crucial. Salt is crucial. But if you have too much of them, that's not good. Okay? What else? Salt and light. Well, in a deeper sense, and I think this is more important for us, both salt and light exist in order to point to something else. The reason salt is put into our food is not so that it tastes salty, except for French fries. Those have to taste salty or else they're not French fries. But other foods, you put a little salt into your food to bring out the flavors of what's there, right? The other spices or the meats or whatever. It helps to bring about the... Are you getting hungry yet? Sorry, talking a lot about food. That's all right. Same thing with light. Light exists not so that it can be seen. There's a lot of light in this room right now. It's bouncing all over the place. If we could see light by slowing it down enough so our eyes could catch it, I don't know about the physics of that, if that's how that works or not, but if we would see light everywhere. Light doesn't exist for us to see the light. It exists for us to see what it bounces off of. Follow me? So you can see the wall, you can see the screen, you can see the fans, you can see the people around you, you can see the words on the page because of light. Salt and light are useful. They are intrinsically useful. They're created by something outside themselves. Too much could be a bad thing. And yet, they point to something that's beyond themselves. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Not just of your local community. Not just of your family or your home. Or yourself, you are the salt of it all. The world. Everything. The cosmos is one of the words Matthew used to translate Jesus. Greek word, meaning world, everything. In this Sermon on the Mount, this discourse on discipleship, this discussion of what it means to follow Jesus, Jesus is putting forward a very clear idea about what it means, what it looks like to follow him. He says just in these few verses that discipleship is an active outward process. It is something, a lifestyle that points people toward God because of the new life that is in us. A disciple is one who lives for God's glory so that other people can see what's going on inside that person and give praise to God because of it. It's a person who is the salt in the dish that makes the person who's eating the dish say, "That's a really great dish. Thanks be to God." It's a person who is the light that bounces off of something, scenery, painting, and the person says, "That's a wonderful work of scenery or a wonderful painting. Thanks be to God." A disciple is someone who points other people to God because of who that person is. The characteristics of salt and light are characteristics that we can have as well as disciples. The necessity of salt and light to life mirrors the necessity of us as agents of God's kingdom. We are necessary for the work of God in this world. In the kingdom of God, we are the tangible, present, active influence in this world. Showing God's love to other people is our job. It takes a number of different forms. In each of our different makeups and each of our different sets of interests and lifestyles and careers and places in life, yes, it takes lots of different forms. But it's our job to show God's love to other folks. We're necessary. Each of us is necessary. None of us is unnecessary. I want to hammer on that for just a moment. You might be sitting there thinking, "That's great, Pastor David. We're necessary. Surely the smarter or more able folks, or I don't know, younger folks or whatever, might be more necessary than I am." You can fill in the blank with whatever adjective you like that's not you. "They're more necessary than I am." No, that's not what Jesus says. You are the salt of the earth, and the earth is not going to make it without the salt. You are necessary to what God is doing in this church, in this community, in this region, even in this world. Okay? We can talk more about that if you disagree with me. I'd like to help you think through that, if you really don't believe that. You're necessary. Okay. You're also useful. Salt and light are useful. Intrinsically useful in themselves. There's nothing in salt that makes it salty, nothing in light that makes it light. They just are. Same thing with us. There's nothing in us that makes us useful. We are useful. It's not that we are the salt shakers for the world, dispensing God's love, the salt, on the world. It's not that we're the flashlights shining God's light into the... We are the salt. We are the light, intrinsically useful in ourselves. Who we are as God created us is good and useful for God's purposes. God desires to use us in our unique makeups, our interests, our careers, our places in life, our ages, and all this stuff, to do what God accomplishes in this world. We are actually useful as we are. And you might disagree with me on that too, and if so, we can talk about this later. I'd love to do that, because it's very easy for us to deny our usefulness. I'm not that influential. My faith isn't that strong. I'd rather just kind of hide. I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too smart or not smart enough, or whatever. To be salt or light, that's not me, it's somebody else's job. No, you're necessary, and you're useful. But to make sure you don't get too big of a head about things, too big of an ego about things, right? Just like salt and light are created by something outside themselves, they're formed, produced by an external external process, so are we. We are not so great that we create our own goodness. Light does not create itself. It's the byproduct of this fusion thing happening in the sun, right? So too, God gives us new life in Jesus Christ. The new life that is in us propels us to do things in the world that proclaim God's love to the world. Our identity as disciples and as servants is due to God's work in us. Can I brag about Virginia for a minute, Annie and Kim? You don't know why, but I'd like to. Their niece, Virginia Hilliard, she was baptized here last fall, you remember. She lives with Annie and Kim. She sent me a Facebook message, as a lot of people do, last Sunday. You remember last Sunday there was the house fire down the street. Bob and Nancy Snell, remember to pray for them. Bob and Nancy Snell, they're the homeowners. Their house burned out. There's just remnants of a shell left. I talked with Bob this week, met him and talked with him, and he said the plan is just to level it and reconsider, figure out what's next, because there's nothing useful there anymore. It's gone. Virginia sent me a message Sunday, while the fire was taking place. Her boyfriend, Caleb, is a fireman, a firefighter, with one of the area, is it Homer that he's with? Homer Township. So he was involved, and she was checking to make sure he was okay and everything was all right. She went and visited the Snells. She met Nancy, the wife, that just lived down the street from there. She communicated how sorry she was that this happened. She extended the hand of friendship to them, told them that there's a church around the corner, meaning us, that we're here to support you and love you and help you if we can. Let us know, you know, we're just here. And she communicated with me and helped to make that contact so I could go and meet them. And she was a bridge builder for this whole process. She extended God's love to these people because of who she is, because of the new life that God has given her in Christ. Now, you might think, well, this is just kind of what good people do. Well, maybe, yeah. But Virginia is a believer in Jesus. And because of her belief in Jesus, because of her new life in Christ, something in her propelled her to make this contact with this family and to say, you know, we are here. Can we help? And as we were talking with, I was talking with Bob and whatnot, he said that they're pretty well supported. They have a lot of people around them, and they're doing all right. They're living in a camper right now. But Virginia said that they didn't have homeowners insurance. There was no insurance. So it's all a loss. I think he seemed grateful for the contact that we made, got the information about the church, but I don't know that he's going to pursue anything with us, but I don't think that should stop us. What would you think about taking up a love offering for them? Could we do that next week? It's too short a notice today, but let's do that next week, shall we? Separate from our regular tithes and offerings, we'll take up a separate offering for the Snells, and we'll just, maybe Virginia will be able to transport it to them. Be able to write a check and get to her. Just to extend God's love to them and say, you know what, don't know what you're going to need this for, but sure seems like it could be a lot. Use it for what you need, and we love you and wish the best for you from this point. Let's plan on that, all right? Good. Our identity as Christians makes us useful, makes us necessary for God's work. And yet our identity is not our own. It's something that God plants in us. That's this whole discussion. Moving ahead. Salt and light can be too bad if you have too much of it. There's a sense in which if we are over-the-top Christians, if we are so imposing of our beliefs on other people, it can turn other people away. Too much salt can make the dish unpalatable. And if we pound people on the head with the Bible, like Ron just did to Sabrina over there, that's not in... He didn't actually do that, don't worry. It can be a bad thing. Okay, so we kind of have to keep things sort of in check. We need to have healthy relationships with people and not be over-aggressive in our love of folks. But in the end, and this is maybe the most important part, like salt and light that point to something else, salt brings out the flavors in the dish, light helps us see what's around us, so too we are there in order to point to something else. We point to Jesus. When we give the love offering to the Snells in a week or so, it'll be pointing them to Jesus. It'll be saying, this is who we are because of what Jesus has done. We just want to say we love you. The things that we do are because of something else. Because of what Christ has done in us. Not because of us being good. The source is external to us. And the idea is that we are to bounce off the walls and let people see who Jesus is. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And if you choose to follow Jesus, then you have new life. You have a new identity. And you have a new call on your life. Our call is to imitate Jesus, to take on his character, and to live expressively so that the world might praise God because of our participation in his kingdom. Go this week and be salt. Be light. And bring glory to God through how you live. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we give you thanks for this teaching from the Sermon on the Mount that we are useful and necessary and have intrinsic value because you have given it to us. Help us, Lord, to put that value to work so that your kingdom might grow in this place. We pray for Bob and Nancy Snell as they continue to sift through the remains of their home and consider what to do next. We pray that you would open doors for them materially and emotionally and spiritually, that all of their needs would be met, and that they would find you in the center of this whole process. We thank you for how you have brought us into relationship with each other and with you, and for Jesus Christ, the one in whom we have life because he gave his for us. It's in his name that we pray all of these things. And all of God's people said, Amen.